recruits! Quiet down now! As I was saying, the legitimate press is the perfect place to disseminate misinformation. But now and then they do check their sources. And when that happens, we have to create even more misinformation to cover our tracks. Over time, it can become tiresome. However, with cheap pulp publications such as our Penny Dreadfuls, no one will ever check a source because it's strictly escapist rubbish. Who is going to believe stories of werewolves, demons, vampires, and zombies? Well, many people do. And even though the literati snobs think it's all poppycock, another mindless passing fad, these monsters dredged up from the dark depths of our fearful imaginations may be with us for a long, long time.
Cowpatter, you do recall the wolf Blahunger, yes?
You're referring to the hypothetical contraption you invented to capture kraut gas. Now, I thought that was a hoax.
Yes, it was finally exposed, but not until irreparable damage had been done.
As people ceased booking flights on the Great Hindenburger, believing it was filled with a highly combustible blend of bovine and peasant flatulence.
Yes, those were the days. However, Lady Chatterley would not allow the wolf Blahunger to sit idle. She resurrected the device in one of her Penny Dreadfuls.
Do you mean she wrote it into one of her stories?
I have a copy here. Somewhere. Here it is, the October issue.
Oh, I must say, Penny Dreadfuls are aptly named.
Hey, scholars do find them rather dreadful, but personally I find them rather fun.
I'm sorry I cannot share your cosmopolitan view, Futz-Futz.
Quite. Now, Lady Chatterley wrote an adventure series, let's see, which entitled I Was an Adolescent Zombie for the Krauts.
Lady Chatterley actually penned that?
Indeed, but it was under the name of L.C. Lawrence. In her story, a young working-class lad by the name of Timothy Tinglebottom is gassed by the Krauts and turned into a walking zombie.
Oh, dear.
Oh, dear indeed. Because like so many of Lady Chatterley's pranks, the repercussions were ultimately disastrous. Here, I'll illustrate.
Young Timothy is returning home when a zeppelin drops a canister of gas on his village, turning everyone into zombies. Luckily for Timothy, he was upwind and received only a mild dose. So he became a sort of walking and talking zombie.
But zombies aren't especially articulate, are they?
I realize it's a rarity in zombie stories, Nigel. But it is a literary device that enables Timothy to tell his terrible, tear-jerking tale.
But how did Lady Chatterley anticipate the events that actually did occur?
By inventing them.
You mean Lady Chatterley was responsible for introducing zombies into the Not-So-Great War?
I think it's best if Lady Chatterley explains how all this came about.
Now, here is when the Wolfbrauchhanger returns. In our Penny Dreadful adventure, the clever Krauts unearth a few unfortunate Frenchmen and bring them back from the dead. They lock the poor fellows in a small room and feed them a Prussian diet of sauerkraut, Wiener Schnitzel, Bratwurst, and other extremely flatulent-inducing foods. That devilish device, the Wolfbrauchhanger, is used to suck the fumes from the room so the zombies won't asphyxiate one another. Zombie wind is the worst odor in the world. It is absolutely lethal, or at least in my little story. The zombie fragrance is distilled into an even more concentrated gas, compressed into airtight containers and then dropped from airships down upon the enemy. The enemy, of course, happens to be us. Needless to say, no one is prepared for these zombie bombs, and a significant number of our working class are turned into zombies. I love it.
I believe that is the most repulsive story I've ever heard. Zombie flatulence turning others into zombies? Is that possible?
Highly doubtful. You'd have to receive the full force directly in your face to have such an effect.
And what do you define as full force?
Oh, locked in a small airtight room with a zombie who's been eating sauerkraut.
I can't imagine what that would be like.
You don't want to, believe me.
Is sauerkraut a favorite food of the zombies?
I hope not. But even receiving the full blast of a flatulent zombie's foul wind would probably leave you with no more than a mild rash.
Well, I suppose that is a relief. Ah, so Chatterley's story was just more penny dreadful nonsense.
Yes and no. There never was a wolf blah hunger. That was a bogus device Lady Chatterley invented to discredit the Krauts.
But you created the model for the wolf Blauhunger.
I did, but it never would have worked. It was just another one of Lady Chatterley's devilish pranks. However, the head of the Huns Department of Doom and Gloom, Professor Ludwig von Snipe...
The man who would stop at nothing!
The same! Had a fondness for our penny dreadfuls. Von Snipe loved English adventure stories, and when he came upon Lady Chatterley's tale of young Timothy turning into a zombie, he was incensed.
I was an adolescent zombie for the Krauts? This means war! No. Wait. We are at war. So they say we invent zombies, do we? Well, why not?
An idea began to form in von Snipe's devious Prussian brain. He devoured each installment of Lady Chatterley's adolescent zombie adventure serial. A master plan began to form in his cunning Kraut mind, and the rest is history.
Wait. You're moving too fast, Futz. I want to know, how did the Germans create zombies?
Their chemists were developing a sulfur gas they called Herr Sniff.
Mr. Mustard?
Von Snipe convinced them to set it aside and instead focus on what he was later called Herr Windunterbrecher.
Mr. Windbreaker?
Exactly.
Their zombies were created from a synthetic gas called Herr Windunterbrecher?
They were.
And it was our Department of Misinformation that gave the Germans the idea in the first place?
It was!
Professor Futz, the more you tell me about our government's mishandling of misinformation, the more embarrassed I am to be British.
Don't take it so seriously, Cowpotter. You have to admit Lady Chatterley had an excellent sense of humor.
But were the German zombies an effective fighting force? Zombies have always struck me as rather difficult to discipline.
There were no German zombies.
What? But I've seen newsreels of zombies devouring entire villages.
Of course there were zombies, but they were just one German.
No, who were they?
Cowpotter, let's let the zombies rest for a bit, shall we? I'd like to return to the heroine of our story, Lady Windermere.
All right, then. Well, did Lady Windermere remain a spy throughout the war?
She did, but she did not return to London. She operated out of Paris.
And you have the cylinders she recorded with her brass fantabulous?
I do. Now, here is a recording. I think you'll find it insightful. One evening, Lady Windermere was walking along the Rue Michel Chazelet, and as she was passing a shop, she heard a cuckoo clock, and she thought cuckoos were rather silly, but still it caught her attention, and she stopped to look into the shop window, and she was impressed by the display of ornate antique clocks. So she stepped inside.
May I help you, mademoiselle?
I was drawn in by the call of your cuckoo.
Ah, yes. That is a fine antique Black Forest cuckoo. Very rare, mademoiselle.
Are you German?
Nein. No. I am Viennese.
Ah, I love Vienna.
My name is Siegmund Snipe. At your service.
The proprietor wore spectacles and a neatly trimmed beard. In fact, he looked a little like Sigmund Freud.
Are all your cuckoos made in Germany?
Oh, no. Here, let me show you my favorite. A contemporary Austrian cuckoo that plays a popular Viennese waltz.
A waltzing cuckoo clock?
Yeah. In fact, this clock contains a chorus of synchronized cuckoos. Here, I will demonstrate. Da 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 da, cuckoo, cuckoo. Da 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 da, cuckoo.
Fine enough. Thank you, Herr von Schneid.
No. Just plain old Herrschneid.
Your laugh. Where have I heard that before?
Perhaps on the streets of Vienna.
I think not. Your clocks. I notice that each one is set for a different time. Why is that, Herr Schneid?
I'd like to know what time it is everywhere in the world, Jarl.
Ah, now this is the biggest cuckoo clock I've ever seen.
Oh, that is not for sale.
It must have a cuckoo the size of a goose.
It is under repair.
Oh, there's a door in back of the clock. It's tall enough to step into.
Now, please, Lady Win... Mademoiselle, please do not step into the merchandise.
Ooh, it's filled with tubes. A cuckoo with vacuum tubes.
It is most recent Viennese invention. A cuckoo clock radio.
Wake up with a cuckoo in your ear?
Cuckoo, 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 cuckoo.
Why does your cuckoo radio have a microphone? Can it be a cuckoo transmitter, Herr von Snipe?
Von Snipe? No. You're mistaking me for...
Yes?
What the hell? I give up.
Oh, Herr Ludwig von Snipe, cuckoo clock aficionado. Who would have guessed?
I hate cuckoo clocks. All day long it's ticky, ticky, tocky, tocky, ticky, ticky, tocky, and then cuckoo! Cuckoo, cuckoo! It's driving me geisteskrank.
Relax, Ludwig. Why don't you close up shop? Let's go have a schnapps.
Yeah, good idea. But when are you going to turn me in, Lady Windermere?
When? That was never my intention.
Why are you being so nice to me?
Why? Well, we'll see, won't we?